Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a spectacular episode of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I am Dan.
I am Alex.
And we seem to be missing two people in the studio right now. Our other hosts, Austin and Miss Angel, are actually on their way. Austin had to work his regular job till about 6. So they should be in the studio here in the next 10-15 minutes, hopefully.
Cool.
But you can join us. Yes. All you got to do is call 718-664-9735. And as soon as the Facebook live feed comes up, you can join us there too. You could also, you know, find us on Facebook, obviously, Behind the Screen Radio Show. Put it up in the search bar. Be the first one that pops up. Click the like, share, and follow button. Also head on over to WikiCuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like, share, and follow. Hit up our website. The link is on every single Facebook page that has to do with WikiCuriosity Media. www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. There's a lot of good stuff on there, a lot of good content. We're updating the content, so, you know, check it out. Also, follow us on YouTube at WikiCuriosity Media. The link is in there. You can find all of our archived shows at blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosity and on iTunes at WikiCuriosity Media. Also hit us up on TikTok at WickedAngel1. So yeah.
Cool.
It's been a while since we've done a movie of the week.
It's been a while since I've been on a movie of the week. Oh, Jesus. I just updated all my apps. I'm not a big updater. Like, I'll have 40 apps that I need updating. And there were some that I, like, had to update. And accidentally hit update all. So I updated all my apps. There's a new feature, at least for the iPhone version of Messenger. We're on Messenger call, and I have muted. I keep getting a banner notification saying, "Are you speaking? Unmute your mic." I'm like, I get it. I know I'm muted. It just did it again. Are you speaking, ? Unmute yourself and try again.
So basically your phone is telling you, "Hey, dummy, they can't hear you."
Yeah.
Whereas my phone is just like, "You muted yourself. I don't do nothing."
Gosh, I really regret updating things sometimes. That's why I don't update things, because I'll wait like a year until it like really needs to update or like it won't run. And some, like, people will say, "Well, the new update's trash. Don't you have the new update?" Well, no. Why not? Because I don't update my stuff. It's like, "Well, that's bad for your phone." I don't care. You just said the new update sucks. Why would I update it?
I don't update my stuff because I don't have room. Like, my phone is so old that it's starting to get to the point to where... So it's not so old. It's only a 9+. But it's getting to that point to where, like, if I want to look at things or if I want to update, I have to delete. Like, last night you and I were on, you know, you and I were texting. And every time I would open the text message, it would say, you know, there's too much room. You can't use the text message. So I actually went back and scrolled through all my old text messages. Not my Facebook, but my old text messages. There were some from, like, 2015 that were on there still.
Damn.
Yeah. So I spent probably a good 10 minutes deleting old text messages. And I was going through and I was like, this is when I was in AT like 3 years ago. So, but.
Yeah. And I ran into that problem when I had my phone before. Not my phone, my old phone, but my phone before that. It was smaller storage. I couldn't hold nothing. Like, I ran out of storage, like, quick. And I got a new phone, and I got to max out storage, or the one below. And I'm still struggling to fill it up. After I got a new phone with the same amount of storage, I'm not even, like, a quarter way through.
Yeah, for me, I've got, because I take a lot of pictures, obviously. And I don't have, I take pictures, but I also, because I used to design the logos for the company and stuff like that on my phone, because I have an app for that. So I would download a lot of art and then, you know, make it from there. A lot of pictures and stuff like that to kind of help me design our logos. And that, I think, is what caused my phone to lag a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to get rid of some of those and transfer some of those to another device. But I just think that... Go ahead.
I like to, like, keep progress of things. Of, like, what it was before to what it is now. So, like, a couple years ago, I started my action figure fetish. Like, I just, all of a sudden, action figures were my thing. And I kept sending you pictures of, like, my progress of stuff. I, even to this day, I do. It was, like what, 2-3 years ago I started doing this?
Mm-hmm.
But when I got a new phone, my iCloud storage, because that's where all the photos were backed up on, were iCloud.
Yeah.
And my iCloud storage got filled up. I was like, well, shoot, I don't want to lose all these photos because it was saved in our text message thing. So I went into our text message thing and saved like 800 photos of just like my figures, like stuff I've made, like any picture I sent to you, it got saved. And I have more pictures now than I have ever had in my life because every time I got a new phone, I would restart. Like I wouldn't transfer nothing over. I'd restart.
Yeah.
And I would never see past triple digits. Now I got like 4,000 photos.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure I have more than my mother, and my mother takes pictures of quite literally everything. And it's a problem now. I got a lot of photos, but they're worth it.
Well,
dogs and action figures.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you take like 3, 4, 5 photos of...
Austin asked for, he was doing some type of TikTok thing, and he goes, I need a picture of yourself. I was like... Okay, from when? He goes, your most recent photo. I was like, okay. And so I scrolled through like 2,000 photos to see the most recent photo. And it was like back in April.
Damn. I would have just
I didn't
been,
even
like,
get the photo. I had to go to my mom's Facebook to get it. I just don't take pictures of myself. It's literally my dogs or my figures or a meme that I thought was real funny.
Yeah, I don't – see, I take – me being a dad, obviously, I take a lot of pictures of my kids. And the only time I take pictures of myself is, like, if I'm taking them with the kids. Like, I've got a lot of me and Sophia just because she's always like, hey, you know, take a picture of us. Take a selfie of us. you know, because she's of that age. And, you know, and I'm not going to delete those, obviously. But yeah, I don't take a whole lot of pictures of myself. Like I don't update my Facebook profile picture and stuff like that. The one I've got on there now is one that Jeremy took, or the guy in glasses, when he was on the Sunday show with us.
Yeah, which, I think I've only updated mine twice, and I don't even use Facebook. I literally look on it if my grandma or mom posts something. Did you see what I posted on Facebook? Sure did. It's like, I don't use it for anything else other than that. So I've only changed mine twice.
I mean, I use it for the business, obviously. I use it for Wiki Curiosity Media and for Behind the Screen. But as far as, like, doing a lot of posts, I really don't. I'll do, like, you know, the obligatory anniversary and holiday posts and stuff like that. Or if, like, when Miss Angel and I go out, you know, I'll take a picture of us and say, hey, we're at the movies and stuff. But I don't do a lot of posting on my personal Facebook page.
I don't do a lot of posting on anything ever. I think the most I do is Snapchat stories. And I just recently started that like last year, and I've only posted like 4 or 5.
Yeah. See, I don't even do, I don't use Snapchat a lot.
See, the thing with Snapchat is I only have people on there that I know. So when I post something like that on there, I know everybody who's seen it. I can see everybody who's seen it, anybody who screenshot, you know, did whatever with it.
Yeah.
And I can see who is liking and, like, actually keeping up with my stuff, like, to see if it's worth posting. But if I post something on Instagram or Facebook, yeah, they can like it, and I'll see such and such liked your photo. But either I don't know you, I don't talk to you anymore, or I just don't care.
Yeah. So. I'm not one of those people that gets hung up on, you know, how many likes did I get for this picture.
Yeah.
It's nice. Like when Miss Angel and I go out, it's nice because I tag her and I get, you know, all of her friends and stuff like that. You know, I'll get double digits, you know, 20, 25, because it's a nice post, you know, it's a date night post, and, you know, we're going to get, you know, people commenting or people liking the pictures and stuff like that. But, like, I use Facebook to keep up with friends, you know, just to see what's happening in their lives, like friends that I've had since I was in, oh, God. I've got my oldest friend on there is one from 7th or 8th grade. Like, we were best friends in 8th grade.
Huh.
And, I mean, we don't talk. But, you know, I see what's going on in his life, and, you know, he sees what goes on in my life. And, you know, we'll like each other's pictures and stuff, but – and it's nice – that's what I like about Facebook. You know, I like to see people that I've known, you know, or people that I knew 20 years ago. I like to see that they are doing well with their life.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes some of the other pages that I follow, like the movie pages and stuff, it's cool because I get to see, like upcoming movies. Like there's one that I posted on Behind the Screen, Prey, the Predator prequel movie. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, there's a Predator prequel movie coming out, next year, 2022. That will take place, I want to say, 100 years or 200 years. Probably 100 years before the original Predator. And one of the Predator species, I don't know how to pronounce their species.
The Yautja.
That's it.
Yeah. It looks super complicated, and then I heard someone say it, and I was like, it's two syllables? Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. The Yautja, they're actually fighting Native Americans.
That sounds like a thing for Tom and Jerry when they get like a piano or something or smashed on their tail, and Tom will scream, "Yautja!"
But
God, that's all I can imagine now. Is the creator of freaking Predator watching Tom and Jerry and going, "That." That's
Yautja?
Their species name.
Wait. Instead of Yautja, get this. What if we called them Yautja? Brilliant.
Holy shit, Bill, you've done it. Nobody will be able to pronounce it. Nobody will know what it is because they'll just call them the Predators.
So what? It's Y-O-W-C-H-A? No. What if we did X-I-U-Y-A-X-X-O-Y-C-H-A-A-E? What the fuck does that even spell? Yautja.
The hell is that? You might as well just say... My one bulldog makes that noise. I try to record it every time and send it to you, but every time I like bring the phone out, she stops. But she does that little predator click, and it's so funny. I call her the predator dog.
See, and the way that you did the hand movements and stuff reminded me of Harry Potter.
Yeah, when he was on the Felix Felicis and they Aragog died, and they took the fang off, and he's like, "Was."
Uh-huh.
First time me and mom saw that, we were dying laughing.
Yeah. I laugh every time I see it. Because
Harry
you
Potter
know.
On a trip.
We'll get into Harry Potter later on in the year. In the year. We've got a month and a half. But we'll definitely talk Harry Potter in December. So they're coming out with a new Predator movie, and surprisingly, because it's done by Fox Studios, who owns the rights to Predator, it is being released on...
It's a Disney movie.
It is. It's being released on Disney Plus.
The Predator's
and on
a
Hulu.
Princess.
Hey, that's the Alien Queen, because they own the rights to Alien 2. Actually, they don't. I think HBO has the rights to Alien.
Probably.
Because all the Alien movies are on HBO Max.
Yeah.
But the female Predator is, yes, now considered a Disney princess. So, but I am actually definitely looking forward to that. As you know, and as, you know, some of our fans know from, you know, ones that have listened to us in the past, I'm a big Predator fan, big Alien fan. I love the Predator movies, all of them, even Predators, which was on the, you know, on the actual Predator hunting planet with Adrian Brody and,
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just forgot his name.
Danny Trejo.
Yes.
What's his name? Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne was in that movie, I think.
Was he in that one?
Yeah, he was in, like, the ship, I think. I don't know. It was some actor similar to him. But, yeah.
But yeah, even that one, which a lot of people are claiming was just absolute crap, I thought it was brilliant for the universe.
He wasn't it. So wasn't Marcella Ali.
Okay. Yeah. Like I've seen it advertised on my TV. It's on Tubi for free. But Tubi has a lot of commercials because it's free.
Yeah.
And I've got the disc. So, you know, just pop it in the Xbox and watch it.
Pop it in the box.
But I've had an itching to watch Predator. And the Predator figure that I got for Christmas last year, mm-hmm. is now sitting on top of the movie case.
Very nice. I completely forgot all about that.
I did not. It has been sitting on my case upstairs in my bedroom for a while, and I was like, nope, this motherfucker's getting displayed. So it's now sitting on top of the movie case in the living room.
Nice. Yeah, no, yeah. The horror movie I'm looking forward to next year.
Okay.
Very early next year. Scream 5.
Now, see, when I heard that they were making a Scream 5, I was actually very hesitant because I just got really tired of the Scream series.
I've recently become more involved with it. I really like the first one. Like, it's one of my favorite horror movies. I don't even consider it a horror movie. It's more of a slasher/thriller movie.
It is.
But the first Scream movie and the Halloween series are my favorite slashers of all time.
Okay.
I'm really excited for Scream 5. I just like the mystery behind the Ghostface killer. I'm really interested on what they do with him in this one.
I'm actually interested. I saw previews for it when I went and saw Antlers, and I think they had previews for it in Last Night in Soho, if I remember correctly. I don't remember. But anyway, yeah. Saw
you know they're
previews.
Making a – or they made a Paranormal Activity movie.
Yeah.
A new
it's
one.
Streaming. Yeah. Yeah. It's streaming on Paramount Plus right now, and I haven't watched it. I saw Paranormal
I
Activity
either.
1 and 2, and then I quit after that. The first
I've seen
one,
every single one of them, and as a child – scared the shit out of me. Basically because of the jump scares, though.
Yeah.
That's all that movie is. Those movies are. This new one kind of looks a little bit more creepy, though. Like, it might have a little bit more substance to it.
I kind of hope so.
Those movies just don't have... I might be hating on the movies, but they just don't have any substance to them at all. They're just jump scares.
So, I will say the first one, when it came out, when it was done...
It was interesting and innovative.
It's a found footage film, kind of riding the coattails of Blair Witch, which, let's be honest, while it was the advertising campaign behind Blair Witch was brilliant, the movie itself was stupid. But Paranormal Activity, the actual movie Paranormal Activity was brilliant because Miss Angel and I went and saw it in the theaters when it came out, and there were absolutely no credits. None. There were no credits for
I think your mic switched over or something. It changed.
Yeah, so we plugged in the other mic. Our producer and my co-host, Austin, is in the studio now.
So,
howdy.
So that's why the yeah. microphone changed.
Yeah, I didn't know if we had a issue or anything. But
no. But when Paranormal Activity was released to the theaters, everybody knew that it was fake. But the way that they marketed it, the way that they put it out to the theaters and stuff like that. Like, there was no beginning, you know. There was no, oh, this is Paranormal Activity. You know, there was no credits, no nothing. I mean, it was, movie started, it went, and then it ended. And when it ended, like that last scene, when it ended, it was done. There was no music.
Yes.
There was no music throughout it. Throughout the movie, it was literally just you watching security cameras within the house. And I will say, in the theater that her and I went to go see it in, when the movie stopped, like, I don't know if the projectionist wasn't paying attention, because it was still one of those, but the whole theater just went dark. The movie cut off, whole theater went dark. and you couldn't see a thing. And it was, there was a little bit of a creep factor behind that.
Yeah.
So, but the first one, like you said, the first one was good. The second one was decent, but I think they just went way too far into it, trying to make more money off of it, trying to expand the story.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that really sucked a lot were 4, and then, like, the New Blood one, where it took place in, like, New Mexico or Arizona.
I haven't seen those.
That one sucked. Like, I can't remember what it's called, but it didn't have, like, a number to it. It absolutely sucked, and it was, I think it was straight to streaming. Like, it didn't even come out in theaters or nothing, because I watched it on Netflix. And it was terrible.
I may have to go watch these just to see how bad they are.
Now, the prequel one, when they were kids, that one was really good. I liked that one. I don't remember which one that was, though. It might have been 2 or 3. But
okay.
Whatever the prequel one was, that was good, and the first one was good. The rest of them were kind of doo-doo.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to take a small little break. Let everybody get situated in the studio and everything. When we come back from the break, we are going to be talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It is one of the newest Marvel movies. It is the first movie in Phase 4, and it was actually released to Disney Plus for Disney Plus Day last week. A little bit of side note, on Wednesday's show, we are actually going to be talking about Disney Plus Day. So, you know, some of the things that came out, our thoughts about it and stuff like that. So, you know, you'll have to wait till then. But anyway, yeah, when we come back, we'll be talking Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, welcome back. If you missed the first 30 minutes of the show, shame on you. It was actually a good 30 minutes. But we are back, and we have Austin in the studio with us now.
Yep.
And Miss Angel.
Hello.
And tonight, we are talking about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So, this is the first movie for the very beginning of Phase 4 for the MCU. It's basically talking about the Ten Rings crime organization, and the leader of the organization and stuff like that.
Better have the IMDb page open the entire time trying to pronounce these names.
I've got them up here, and I will tell you right now, I am going to absolutely butcher everything. Every single one of these names, because I am horrible at names.
I am a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person.
Look, I can barely pronounce English names. Let's be honest.
I know.
Well, we all know. It's okay.
Yeah. So
talking is hard.
There it is.
Sometimes talking is hard. So let's put this out there. Be forewarned, there are going to be spoilers, and I know that this movie just came out the theaters, but it is also available on Disney Plus, so you can go watch it.
I mean, it's been at least a week or two. I mean, if you were going to see it, then
it's been over a month. I watched it a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you were going to see
it came out in like middle of September.
It is not at all. If you hear a spoiler on a movie that's been out for a month.
We're reviewing Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if it's Sunday and it opened on Friday or Saturday, okay, maybe I'll give you a pass. It's been like a month. I don't care.
That, and to be honest, there's not like that big of spoilers in this movie. I mean, spoilers for the movie, yeah, but spoilers for overall, like if we describe the ending to somebody, I don't think it'll affect the viewing experience.
I have a quick fact.
Okay.
So in the late 1980s, Stan Lee had actually considered a film or TV series about Shang-Chi, and had in mind Brandon Lee, who was the son of martial arts superstar Bruce Lee, for the role. Shang-Chi was visually based on Bruce Lee, so Brandon seemed a fitting choice, but the plan fell through. To be honest, had he lived, Brandon Lee would have been awesome.
So I think Brandon... So
at least the dad, maybe.
I think Brandon Lee would have been awesome as dad or one of the major players in Hollow. Did I say that right?
Sure.
Yes.
Sweet! This is going to be all night. Did I say that right? Yes. No. No, yes.
So I don't actually know Simu Liu, who was Shang-Chi. I don't know that actor.
He was in a bunch of, stock photos before this movie. When you Google, professions or something, they have, the generic stock photos. He was a model for those.
Well, so he is proficient in, taekwondo, gymnastics, Wing Chun, for his role as Master of Kung Fu. Liu trained in Tai Chi, Wushu, Muay Thai, Tenkat Silat, Krav Maga. Well, it's two words on here. Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, and street fighting.
Huh.
He was busting his ass.
He was also on Asian Bachelorette 2.
Was not. I hope he won.
And he was a bartender in Warehouse 13.
Was he really?
Was he?
He's done a lot of...
We watched Warehouse 13.
I love that show.
Oh, yeah? That's why I mentioned it.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
I don't remember a bartender episode.
There's 100 different bartender episodes.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of supporting roles before this.
So I will say that he was absolutely the perfect choice for Sean or Shang-Chi. There was a certain charisma about him that you really just wanted to, you know, keep watching his story.
Yeah, he was really good at playing the whole two lives thing. Like, he was able to hide his old life pretty well. He got outed for that, but he was really good at playing, like, the innocent, dopey, oh, I'm just such and such's friend. It's okay.
Sure. I'm just a valet. That's all I am. And then he literally murders, like, 8 people on a bus and, you know, manages to defend himself again against a guy with a fucking sword for a hand.
Yeah.
I liked Razor Fist a lot.
He was kind of badass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You have something? I saw you over there.
So, because I don't know the names of the actors, I had to look at who it was first.
Uh-huh.
So, Meng-Er Zhang?
Okay.
Is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
she met action designer Yung Lee while making the movie, and they started dating. And by the time the movie wrapped, they got married. And so Simu Liu took everyone to Disneyland, while Awkwafina took everyone to karaoke. I just cannot get over that name. I've seen it before. She's been in another movie, but God damn it, that's the water I used to drink.
She's been in, what was the other movie that she was in?
She's been in comedy movies.
No, it was not us. It was a recent movie. She was in Raya and the Last Dragon.
Okay, because I remember the name. So, because, you know, I can't.
Yeah, that's... She was also in the SpongeBob movie, Jumanji The Next Level.
She's going to be in The Little Mermaid as Scuttle.
Katie, okay.
Yeah, that's who she is. So... One thing that Alex and I talked about last night over text was that this movie, with its styling and the way that it was shot and just the visuals with this movie, it felt like less of a Marvel movie and more of a Disney movie, which I'm not saying that in a bad way.
We talked about this last night. I don't agree with you.
I know you don't, but, you know, I'm going to defend my position, and I'm going to let Alex defend.
That's fine.
And then you defend.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously. And then, you know, Austin's opinion.
All I know is that you said that it reminded you of Mulan, and I thought that was a hell of a racist.
I think he meant more in, like, the artwork and the style.
Yeah.
Almost like it's Asian.
Right, but I will say... He's not seen the live-action Mulan, and you and I both agreed that they did amazing with the Asian culture in the live-action.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no dragons.
But the visuals of this reminded me a lot of the visuals in Mulan, and not because they're the same culture.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, Raya and the Last Dragon...
I would say almost more Raya, just because we saw a lot of the serpentine dragons in Raya, and the dragon that came from under the water was very reminiscent of that.
Right. Well, so in the, you know...
The artwork is the same, though. The face and everything is almost identical.
It's meant to be.
I'm just saying.
So there's a couple different visuals of what people think of when they think dragon. You have the typical dragon with the four legs and the wings and the breathe fire and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you have the
European dragon.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, the European dragon.
Asian dragons are different, obviously.
Yes, and then you have the Asian dragon, which is more of the serpentine dragon, which, has that serpentine-like movement and the very
almost flowing.
Well, they're meant to go with the flow of the wind and the sea.
I will say, though, with Raya and this movie, both dragons came from the water.
Yes.
And controlled the water.
Yes.
And so that was very, like, that was a huge tie together.
Yes. Yeah. Alex.
Yes.
Your thoughts, because you actually agreed with me last night.
Yeah, it more so, the Marvel aspect wasn't there. Like, the feeling of it wasn't there, but the whole, not the Disney, like, Pixar animated feel, but the Disney, like, the way Disney flows with their movies, like, their pacing of their movies, and their, like, way they visualize things, and use visuals to kind of boost their movie. The beginning of it was kind of Marvel-esque. Like, it was set in the real world. We were still grounded in, like, reality. Like, everything was, like, oh, okay, Marvel movie. And then when they went to the other world, I forgot that name already. My bad. But when they went to the, yeah, when they went there, everything kind of switched, because when they did this with Black Panther, it was very different. Like, you could still feel the Marvel aspect. It was, like, futuristic. It was superpowers and stuff. But when you went to Ta-Lo, it was very primitive, traditional, like, no technology whatsoever. They fought with dragon scales. They didn't have guns or nothing. It felt very classic to, like, the Disney thing, because when you watch a Disney movie, they don't have guns. They use weapons, and they'll use old-style weapons opposed to new modern ones, typically. So that's where I got, like, the Disney feel. Like, they were trying to be more, not really centered, but more tame with the violence and stuff like that, even though it is a combat movie where people are dying and getting the shit kicked out of them. And then the whole dragon fight scene thing was really cool, but it still had that kind of, like, I didn't worry about Shang-Chi at all. Like, okay, he has the rings, he's going to win. Like,
yeah.
I just had the same feeling as if I were watching a Disney movie. Like, nothing's bad is going to happen. Like, it's just going to be safe at the end of the day. Opposed to other Marvel movies, it's like, oh, I don't know. A good guy might lose his time. But that, and there wasn't really a bad guy in this movie. Yeah, Shang-Chi's father, he was a bad guy, but everything he did was to try to save his life. Was trying to save his wife, or what he thought was his wife. So he wasn't really evil. Like, he was just doing what he thought was right while everybody else was doing what they thought was right. Opposed to, like, the Marvel feel of, yeah, this guy's a bad guy, he's trying to control things, and we beat him, but we struggle a lot. This was, we love each other, we're fighting. Kind of Disney-esque.
Like, they're fighting for love.
They're fighting for love, and, like, they don't want to fight because they want to. They want to fight because one side sees what's wrong, and the other side is blinded by what they want.
I would say that quite a few Marvel movies are that way, specifically Civil War. And you have the same thing with Infinity War and Endgame, where what's his name? Thanos is not wrong. He's not just a big bad guy. He's not wrong in his decisions. He's just, it's killing people, and so we have to stop.
I think it also is very reminiscent of Black Panther's first film. You know, where we're looking at his world.
So when I
his culture.
When I look at, like, Marvel phases 1 through 3, and I look at the introduction movies. Iron Man 1, Captain America, the First Avenger, Thor, and even Black Panther, and even, like, Captain Marvel. When we look at those are more very much fast-paced action-type movies.
Yeah.
With Iron Man, he's trying to build the suit and test it.
Mm-hmm.
With Captain America, it's literally a lot of fighting because it's set in World War II.
Mm.
Thor, it's a little less fighting, but there's more action. It's more action-paced. It's more fast-paced, even though the runtime is the same.
I think the difference between those movies is, between those and this movie specifically, is you have the first two, which are, you know, Captain America, First Avenger, and Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
They're, you know, white action movies. That's what they are.
They are.
They are. You're right.
One's
right.
A war movie.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, we know what a typical war movie is going to be. The other one is an action movie. It's very reminiscent of, like, Die Hard or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And then you have Thor, which is supposed to be this kind of other culture. It could be Norwegian or
Viking.
Icelandic. That's what Norwegian is.
Yeah, kind of based on the Norse mythologies.
But it's Americanized.
Yeah.
And you have the same thing with Black Panther, where it could have African culture, but it doesn't. It has Wakandan culture, which is made up by an American.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the first movie where it's going to have a full difference in how it's shot, directed, written, portrayed, because it has just an actual different culture in it.
Also, Tony Chu Wai Lung, he didn't know anything about Mandarin as a character.
Right.
And he didn't research Mandarin. He didn't care, because Marvel Studios contacted him and gave him full authority to invent his own background. So when we think of Mandarin, like, that had nothing to do with his character, really, because he was reinventing him in his own iteration of the character. He didn't, you know, he's played villainous roles before. He's played in Less Caution and Confessions of Pain. But he wanted to give the character more depth and credibility, so he tried to explore the reasons that could have led him to become who he is. He's a man with history. He craves to be loved. He's a sociopath, a narcissist, and a bigot.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also human, and he has a family. So for him, he never looked at who Mandarin was.
Right.
And so that took some of that out of the role. He played Mandarin, but a new Mandarin.
Yeah, yeah. So I do want to say that I'm not saying that the way that the movie was shot and the styling and the way that I look at it is bad in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Because I absolutely loved this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie was beautiful.
Yeah.
It really was. The
it's very
visuals.
Pretty. Yeah.
I think
it was a little campy in some parts, but it was
obviously, because it's Marvel.
I think it's also one of those things where you also have a normal movie like this. Whenever we think of Asian movies, especially from like the 70s or 80s, we think kung fu movies. We think...
Well, and it's based on Bruce Lee's
right.
martial arts.
But if we look at this movie, the best one to compare it to when we're looking at movies that have come from the Asian culture, the Asian countries, this movie most closely relates and correlates to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Actually, I see a lot of Karate Kid 2 in it.
I don't see either of those, because my whole point was that it doesn't really do what a lot of these American movies or American-generated movies do of
so
just
Crouching,
fighting.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is not Americanized at all. It's not.
I would say it is.
No.
It was
written, produced,
movie,
directed, shot, everything.
Was Asian.
But it's also
Asian.
What we think of.
I don't know.
No,
whenever we think
no,
of
no, it was an
it's,
Asian
no,
movie.
It's their movie.
Yeah, but it's what
so,
we think of whenever we think Asian. Instead of all of this other stuff that we got to explore in this movie. That's what came over to America. So that's what we see.
No, that's their typical movies. It is very typical of their movies. If you look at Ong Bak and the Ong Bak series, it's the same thing.
But a lot of that is just what comes over here, because that's the action movies. Those
so
are
they're
movies
they're
that catch
playing
our eyes.
To Americans.
No, well, that's
not
even what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's what's going to come over here. That's what we're going to see, because they're the things that are going to catch our eyes.
That's what I mean. Like, they're playing those movies to...
They're not playing them.
They're playing them to their culture.
Okay.
But people that want to format them over here are going to be looking at those movies instead of more beautiful movies. Those aren't
going to be. And that's what I'm saying with like Karate Kid. If we look at Karate Kid 2, there was a lot of the same movements and beauty from when they were over there.
Right, right.
And I saw a lot of that in it.
Yeah, well, that's why I correlated it to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon,
right.
Because with, I don't know if you've ever seen
it. I'm not.
It. Okay, Austin, I don't know if
that's
you've
why,
ever seen it.
I don't care.
That's why I put it in Karate Kid 2, is because that's closest to their movements for
right.
The beauty movements that
right.
I know.
I watched it a while back when it came out, and a lot of their martial arts movements in that movie and a lot of the other movies that they have that they produce, you know, over there, whether it's China, Taiwan, Asia, any of the Asian countries, the martial arts movements are more kind of like how I don't know how to pronounce his name. I don't know. Wenwu.
Who?
Wenwu, the dad.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, Wenwu. Mm-hmm. When he was first fighting
the mom. That's not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a choreographed dance.
Yes, it's very
dance
like.
It's more about throwing your opponent off balance than it is about defeating your opponent. It's more about you know.
It's Mr. Miyagi shit. Come on.
It is.
But that's what her side was. That's what Talo's side was. Whereas his was just brute force fighting.
At first. And then, you know,
but
the style changed.
He incorporated them, though. Except he didn't master her style.
That's what
Shang-Chi incorporated both of them. Dad tried to learn her way. He never, ever did master it. He still stuck with, like, I have these wrists of power, and so I don't need that.
Well, he was also very well versed in martial arts.
Yeah.
He didn't have Taloian martial arts.
Right. He had martial arts. Alex, what were you saying? I'm sorry, we cut you off.
That's what Shang-Chi's aunt was showing him, because he had, like, his fist balled up real tight, and he was super tense and, like, all kinds of, you know, he looked like a boxer almost. And he said, well, how did you do that? And she goes, well, you gotta realize, open your mind. And she like uncurled his fist and like made him relax. And that's when he realized like, oh, so this is how you combat brute force, is with, you know,
elegance,
pure balance and elegance and knowing your opponent and throwing them off balance, you know?
Yeah, and that's why he was able to master both of them, and that's how he kind of...
Which I also found kind of weird. I don't know if it was just because the dad was so arrogant, but, like, he mastered these other types of martial arts. A lot of them have to do with those types of things, like those types of training. So either he just ignored that and just trained... Like, he either ignored it all entirely and somehow learned them, or he just didn't listen to those parts of it and just learn the movements of it.
So,
like, he had
are
no,
you talking about his dad, Wenwu?
Yeah, how he had none of the spiritual aspect of it.
So it is possible to learn the fighting style of these martial arts.
Well, he probably partially grew up with them.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, if you look at, I mean, because he's, you know,
1,000 years old.
Huh?
He's 1,000 years old.
Yeah, he's 1,000 years old.
No, they're... Fighting styles would probably be about 4,000 years old.
Yeah.
But
so there's different aspects of martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
There's the fighting aspect of it, and then there's the spiritual aspect of it.
Mm.
And in order to master martial arts, you have to master both sides. There's a lot of people that master purely the fighting side of it and, you know, do very well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what the movie was showing.
Yeah.
Is that you had Wenwu, who was the fighting side of the martial arts. Then you had his mother, or his wife, sorry, Shang-Chi's mother. I want to say, was her name Li?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's Xia Ling.
Okay.
Yeah. The aunt's name was Li.
The aunt was Ying Nan.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh. I don't remember.
I think it was.
They actually didn't say their names that much.
Lee.
Oh yeah, Xiling is the sister. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I didn't really say the mother's name much.
They didn't say their names much at all, or yeah. We didn't catch them.
It was really only just Shang-Chi.
No. They said Shang-Chi quite a bit, but if they were addressing each other, it was, that's my sister, that's my brother, I have to stop my father, my mother died. Like, they addressed them as their thing. I never said their actual names.
Right.
Which sucks, because we'd probably pronounce them better if they did.
Probably.
Well, yeah. That's probably why they left them out, so people wouldn't be running around mispronouncing names. They'd just be like, what's that character? Oh, that's Shang-Chi's sister. It just rolls right off the tongue. It's, oh, Shang-Chi's sister. But if you try to pronounce her name, it's blah, blah, blah. And then people
just
end up saying Shang-Chi. Well, they never said it in the movie, like, at all.
I know.
Maybe once.
They said
so,
it, they
unless
said
you
it
look
a couple
it up,
times, but, yeah.
Unless you look it up and study it and, like, get it down and hear it multiple times, like Shang-Chi's, then either way, people were just going to revert back to saying, oh, yeah, Shang-Chi's sister.
And we were even pronouncing Shang-Chi wrong for a long time.
Which
we
is
were
weird.
Because
I caught it in the beginning of the movie. Shang-Chi's mom said Shang-Chi. And then for the rest of the movie, everybody was saying Shang. I might have misheard it. But I swear she said Shang-Chi. I was like, wait. Have they been saying Shang-Chi this whole time and then this actress just said Shang?
Because he actually, you know, explains it to...
I changed my name from Shang to Sean.
Right, you changed your name from Shang to Sean.
Yeah.
Like, that was funny. She was like, Shang-Chi. He was like, no, Shang-Chi. No, Shang-Chi. No, Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
He spelled out for and everything. Shang-Chi. Oh,
yeah.
So you changed your name from Sean to Shang-Chi? No wonder they found you so easily. That was fun.
He's
like, I was 14, okay? Just killed somebody.
But yeah, so you had Wenwu, who was the powerhouse of the martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Lee, who was the spiritual side. And that's, you know, obviously, as we discussed, you know, that's how Shang-Chi was able to blah, blah, blah.
And I think the only unfortunate thing about these movies is I hope that he gets his own standalone sequel. Because if the next time, the next and only times we see him are with other American superheroes, like American in any type of way, I feel like his stuff is going to get drowned out.
I 100% agree with you. And from some of the research that I have done and some of the theories that are out there, is that he's going to play either a major or a minor role in Multiverse of Madness.
Obviously, I would assume.
Yeah. He is going to have his own sequel.
That's good.
Shang-Chi.
Because I feel like, all of what this movie is meant to be, besides the combat, immediately gets drowned out if you put that in a standard Marvel movie. Because then it's just combat, the normal scores.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Then all of what he is just goes away, and he just becomes a guy with 10 powerful breaking.
He's straight up just Doctor Strange if you take away all the other stuff of this movie.
Yeah.
Which is why the movie is so beautiful. It's so different.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to keep that uniqueness somewhere.
It's almost kind of what they did with Black Panther, to where, because they did add some of the African culture in Black Panther, outside of Wakanda, the tribes outside of the city, which I thought was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And
it just had that, like, it was because Wakanda was also so futuristic, you didn't get too much of it.
Right. But I did
that's
like...
That's why I like this more, especially because it went more traditional.
Yeah.
It's not like it kept it modern. It went back.
And I liked how they had in Infinity War, where they had the quote-unquote final battle right there in Wakanda, and a lot of the focus was on the Wakandans.
Yeah.
This
battleground.
Yes. And you got to see a lot, not a lot, but you got to see some of that fighting.
Yeah, because you had the Thanos exposition on his planet, and then you had, like, this Wakandan battlefield.
Yeah, yeah. And what I'm hoping for is that, like you said, that they continue incorporating the aspects of this movie, like Talo.
Been saying it right this whole
And I got fucked up. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Talo.
Yeah.
The Ten Rings after Shang-Chi's sister took over. And I really hope that they incorporate all of that into the next.
Well, it felt like they were going to with the end credit scenes. Like, it definitely felt like a huge setup for those three areas to come together for another movie.
I agree.
It's one of these weird things where, like, I don't really know where they're going with these end credit scenes, because I've also seen the one for Eternals so far.
I haven't.
And
I, haven't.
I don't really know where they're going with it. It's very interesting because it feels like they've restarted, but also, you have to, like, I'm thinking of it from, like, a position of it's restarting, but then also a position of there's 23 movies before this.
Well, not only
and
that.
So it's very hard to see where they're trying to go right now.
I haven't seen, obviously haven't seen the Eternals in credits.
Alex has also
this
seen
this one.
Right, yeah.
This one, the end credits, obviously pulled in
Doctor Strange.
Three of the characters from the previous three phases.
They pulled
the previous phases pulled in characters from there. So and like in this one in the end credit scene, like welcomed them to the gang basically. Like, so who's left?
Yeah.
What do you mean welcome to the gang? Are we gonna see characters, the old characters?
Yeah, why do you have, like, Mark Ruffalo
right.
and all human?
Right, where's Smart Hulk?
Yeah.
So that is confusing because literally that's what they said, basically, was welcome to the gang. So as we move forward, are we going to see other, the older Avengers? Are we still going to see them playing a part? Or, like,
so,
what's happening?
Especially because a lot of these, a lot of people think that these movies were, these movies and shows are supposed to be leading up to Secret Wars. I'm not getting that from any of these.
What is it?
Games. Secret Wars.
Okay, so Secret Wars is a multiverse battle, essentially.
Yeah. But it has, like, the those green guys that can disguise themselves. The Skrulls.
That had the cat?
Yes.
Yeah, they're, like, either the main antagonist or the main protagonist.
But I like that.
I would say they're probably the protagonist.
Because they're not
the
bad.
The three are the antagonists of the Skrulls.
Yeah,
yeah,
the Skrulls aren't
the
bad.
The three are gone.
No,
some of the Skrulls are bad. Like in the comics, they have like subdivisions of evil Skrulls, but it's with every.
What they portrayed them in the movie so far is that they're not bad, and that they were they're fighting against the Kree, and so we should be helping them.
Yeah, but basically, that's what I'm getting from it is that people think that it's going to be leading up to Secret Wars, but like. From the end credits so far, I've not felt that.
So there's nothing leading to that.
Let's take a look.
I did have a fun fact for
you.
Okay. So you had, because it was pertinent, you had multiple times mentioned Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
Okay, so when they made the film, they took from that movie, Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Tai Chi Master.
Okay.
The Matrix series.
Okay.
Donnie Yen's It Man.
Okay. It Man. Yeah, that was another one.
IP It Man.
Yeah, that was another one.
Jackie Chan films as an influence on the martial arts action, and Michelle Yao, who was the aunt, starred in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
So, yeah. They took a lot of that, which is kind of sad because I really felt like Karate Kid 2 was in there. But whatever, they took from all those movies, and that's where they got a lot of their influence from.
I feel like I've definitely seen the aunt before.
The aunt, you did.
You have.
She's actually been in a lot of movies.
She's been in Kung Fu Panda.
Yes, and she also, she plays this movie she was awesome as an aunt.
Yeah.
I loved her. She plays an amazing bitch.
She does.
She's
kind of a bitch in this movie. She has that undertone.
But she has the ability to play a very powerful woman in her roles. She can play an antagonist or a protagonist, and she matches both.
When I saw her come on screen, I was like, this is it. She's fucking awesome.
I love her.
So, back to this whole end credit confusion thing. No, you're fine. I loved it. So if we go back and we look at the other 20 Marvel movies that we watched, and when we watched, like, the end credit scenes and stuff like that, we were confused up until we saw Thanos put the glove on and said, fine, I'll do it myself.
Right.
And that was, I believe, phase two.
Mm-hmm.
Phase two. Was it after Age of Ultron?
That was after the Battle of New York. That incredible.
No, the I'll do it myself thing I thought was Age of Ultron's end credit.
That's what I
feel like that's too far into it because they had already, like, reworked Thanos' shit at that point because he looked like an ugly motherfucker in that end credit scene.
He did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the first Battle of New York, was it not?
I don't know. I can look it up, though.
But.
Hey, do that.
So, all these end credit scenes, when we looked
at Age of Ultron was the glove that I'll do it myself.
Okay.
God, he was an ugly motherfucker for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they changed it until Infinity War.
When they brought in Josh Brolin.
Hmm.
But all the end credit scenes that we saw,
mm-hmm.
some of them were, I mean, obvious when we saw, you know, Thor's hammer after Captain America, I believe.
Yep.
You know, we knew Thor was coming. But there was a lot of them to where we're just like, what the hell? Like when Stan Lee was with the Watchers. We didn't know anything about the Watchers until we got What If.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that.
The What If series. You need to watch the What If series. It's actually pretty good. It gets really good. Mm-hmm. It starts out slow, but it gets really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were kind of getting pieces here and there. And that's one of the things that Marvel is absolutely brilliant at, is they'll throw something in an end credit scene and you're like, wait, what the fuck is this? You know, what is this leading to? And then four movies down the way, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I remember this. You know? So I think that's kind of what, you know, they're doing now with the end credit scenes.
Yeah.
You know, how did Hulk turn back into Bruce Banner? You know, where was Captain Marvel going after she got the little notification on her screen?
Ding! Oh, shit, there's a war.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions, obviously, to be answered. And we're going to get the answers because we always get the answers. It's just, you know, it's fun for people to theorize and stuff like that.
I wonder if there's going to be less plot holes this around.
So, the reason...
No. There'll be so many plot holes.
You got to remember, when they first started out with Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2, you know, the first phase, it wasn't phase 1.
I know, but instead of going back and seeing what they could retcon, they were like, ah, fuck it.
I mean, they kind of did. But I think they'll do better this go around. I will say, you don't think so?
No. I think they don't care enough about small details to fix those. I think they'll just leave them be. Like, something will happen in Shang-Chi. Or he'll explain something about the rings or something. And then three movies from now, he'll do the exact opposite of what he just said that the rings can't do. And I'll just be like, oh, whatever. I never said that.
I never said that. You can't prove that.
My fun facts are random. We know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can we all say how much we love the grandmother?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Okay. So she also played her double role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Agent May's mother in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What was her name?
Sai Chin.
Michelle Yeoh?
Yeah.
She had a double role as well in Marvel. She also was in... She's going to be in the Avatar movies. That's where I know her from. She's the doctor in Avatar.
Yeah.
but yeah, she played... Now you got me. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. She played Aletta Orgog.
Okay.
Super fun, though. I loved the grandma. I thought she was super cute. Can we also just touch on the fact that having Wong in this movie... Wong?
Wong.
He was awesome. I love him. He's literally one of my favorite characters in Marvel, and he's not even a hero.
He is a hero.
But he is a hero.
He fought an
enemy. He's freaking awesome. I love him. And when he popped... And see, that's where the Marvel, like... It's where Marvel exploded into my face.
Okay.
Was when he first came on with the rings in the Fight Club.
Uh-huh.
Even though my confusion was there. When we went into the Fight Club, we saw, I don't know if they were mutants or alien. Like, I don't know what that was.
All of those different people.
Yeah. Because those are still not mainstream.
Right.
Still not a mainstream thing. But then when you go into her Fight Club... Here are these giant monsters and stuff.
So,
might be very.
And the fact that Wong was there in the Fight Club, kicking
right.
people's asses.
Okay, so the big creature in
the Fight Club.
Yeah, that was fighting Wong.
He's a synonym of mutant.
He's not.
He's a synonym of mutant. Yeah, his name is.
The Abomination.
Yeah, that was the joke.
What I loved was that. And him obviously knew, like, after the fight was over,
yeah.
He's like, could you just, like, right, please, like, we practice?
So, okay, do you know...
But why is he there? Why is Wong in the Fight Club?
Because he parties.
Yeah.
Huh?
Wong's a partier.
I love him!
How do you think they fund the Sanctum Sun?
I don't fucking know. I just thought it was super cool.
That's it.
There's another movie, I don't know if I'm spoiling it.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm not. It's not Eternals, so I don't know. I don't remember where it was. But there's another movie where he goes on a vacation.
That's the No Way Home trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But...
So can we talk about for a very brief second? Just brief.
Talking about Wong.
It involves
Wong's
Wong.
A party guy.
Yeah, I love him.
It involves Wong. Can we just talk about how this movie in particular... made the Hulk canon in MCU now?
Oh, definitely.
The Hulk was already canon.
So it's been canon.
Right, but it has actually brought it to the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most people call it a callback.
It was a callback. It absolutely was.
Yeah.
So kind of wonder how, like...
Definitely not the same Abomination, at least in look.
No,
not,
it wasn't. But I will say, I was still a little confused because I haven't seen Eternals. How did Bruce
Banner,
sorry. Where did Smart Hulk go?
See, that's one of the...
That's not going to be answering Eternals.
I don't know.
Over here.
But, you know, literally the last time we saw him, he was still Hulk. So what is the arm brace?
Well, that's because he snapped.
Yeah. Okay, so the theory behind the arm brace.
Okay.
So when
it's not a theory.
It's still a theory.
It's not a theory. It's because he snapped.
Right, but the theory behind the reason why he still has the arm brace.
It's been a while. It's been like a year. Hasn't it?
It's been like over 5 years.
Since the snap?
No.
Since the first snap it has, but since the second snap. It's
just a bring back snap?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been probably, about a year.
Okay.
This takes place, the director confirmed it takes place the same time Falcon and Winter Soldier does. So.
Yeah, so that's like 4 months.
Yeah, it's like 6 months after Endgame.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's still right after the snap, the
right.
first snap.
Which makes zero sense, because Captain Marvel had a buzz cut in Endgame. And if this takes place 6 months after and her hair already grew back that long.
She's fucking awesome.
I'm so sorry that the superhero that can throw herself into a ship and destroy it can grow her hair back.
Okay, so it's less than a year after the first snap. Since disappearing.
No, since reappearing.
Also,
since Tony.
She got her hair actually buzz cut. And it fucking grew back that fast.
And Brie Larson wore a wig for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Wore a wig for that movie.
Extensions.
No, for...
For this movie, it's extensions.
You can't wear a wig the opposite way. It was both.
It's not and, a wig, though.
And,
it's
Endgame, I thought she cut her hair short, and then they just put it up, and she wore a short wig. Like the pixie cut looking wig.
I mean, if it's a pixie cut, probably. But when we look at, you know, the amount of time that's literally gone on between the movies, she could have grown her hair out that long. And in the movie,
I mean,
it's been
3 years since Endgame.
Right, so it could be explained away with extensions, honestly. Like, she's a female.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so, the Hulk, regardless, this is Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Regardless
Bruce
of...
Bruce Banner.
Shut
up. Bruce Banner, regardless of the time. So, when we go back and we look at Endgame.
The second snap.
If we go back and we look at the beginning of Endgame, which is right after the first snap, we see that Thanos is completely burned.
Yeah,
on his right side.
Fantastic.
Yeah, because of the power of the stones.
Right.
So when Smart Hulk did the first snap to bring people back, because Tony's snap was to get rid of
Thanos'
army.
Yeah.
When Smart Hulk did the first snap to bring people back, it did the same thing to him.
Okay.
And
that's not a theory. We get to see that at the end of it.
Yeah. So it's not a theory.
Right.
We know it happened, but
people are. It's not.
It's fan talk.
Right. So when I say theory, it's not been confirmed in the MCU as of yet.
It was at the end of Endgame. He had to have an arm brace because he got his arm fucked up from the gauntlet.
At the end of
Endgame,
so
if it's only been 6 months, that makes more sense now, and I didn't really realize it was only 6 months.
It has been explained in the movie.
The way that they're probably getting the Hulk out of this, because they're replacing Thor with the female.
Gross.
They're replacing, no, it makes sense in the comics. Tony's dead. Captain America's dead.
What?
He's fucking old as shit. He's dead.
Captain America,
So they have to explain away all these old gen characters. Hulk gets explained away by, you know,
being injured.
He can no longer use his super strength
because he's injured.
Yeah. So he's probably going to be
the
Oracle.
In
the
She-Hulk,
I was going to say he's going to be an advisor.
We'll touch on this on the Wednesday show. But in the She-Hulk trailer, the Professor Hulk is in it and his arm is healed. Either it takes place before Endgame, which I'm guessing it doesn't because it'd be kind of weird, or, you know, Hulk has extreme regenerative powers. Like, he has extreme healing powers. He can heal his arm back.
I think it would actually, I wonder if it would make more sense for it to be before Endgame, because what would he have been doing all those 5 years? I would love to know.
Yeah,
working with
I think if they keep going back to before Endgame, they're not going to get any progress forward for anything.
Well, it's
not
also a show.
Because if you keep looking at the past, they're not going to find Phase 4.
It's a show, but the other shows have taken place after Endgame and have, you know, pushed forward at least some characters and their developments. So
I mean, I think it's cool that we're going to see certain characters in shows, but it's for people like me who don't follow comics and stuff, it's almost confusing. It's a little overwhelming.
Right.
Because we've got all these shows happening, but then we've got these movies happening, and I don't always know where, like, does the show tie in with the movie? Like, what is happening?
They're going to be coming out in an order that makes sense. They're just
kind of. I mean, we've got what Hawkeye is coming out for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving.
Is it Thanksgiving?
Comes out Thanksgiving. Or the day before. It comes out.
Out
in 10 days.
Super excited.
It comes out the Wednesday before.
So Hawkeye's coming out. We already had Black Widow, which is a little confusing because she's already dead.
So Black Widow was...
Just that. I'm sorry. That was insensitive. But it was. Like,
I don't want this to be
it felt almost misplaced.
I'm trying to explain it to her.
Okay, so Black Widow is still Phase 3. Black Widow took place after Infinity War.
But before Endgame.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which still was a little confusing for people like me, because I was just like, she's already dead. Like, maybe this show should
have... That movie honestly should have been released with...
I feel like the Yeah, I felt like the show came out at the wrong time because it was confusing. I've already said my good, like, I literally, being somebody who originally was not a superhero fan,
yeah,
and then watched every single movie, to come back and watch a story of somebody who was already gone.
So it's going to be really confusing to you when they recast Black Widow.
That's not false.
That they've already done.
I hate it. Already.
They've already recast.
I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Have they recast her, or are they just doing a new, or just doing a new widow?
So there's a couple theories about that.
Because you have quite a few widows to pick from.
It just really irritates me.
So,
like, I love Black Widow.
What the theories are is that, so they are recasting Natalie.
Natasha.
Sorry. Wow.
Wow.
Sorry. Nat.
They're recasting Jennifer.
Okay. They're recasting Natasha. But what people are thinking is that she's going to be a multiverse Natasha, not our.
Well, what's also confusing is when we watch these little mini-series things, is we see at the end of said series, mm-hmm. which we think ties into the new phase.
Yeah.
So at the end of Black Widow, we saw her sister.
Yeah.
And her sister made it very clear that she's going to be probably a bad guy.
Well, yeah, she's hunting Barton.
Right. So it's confusing because I don't feel like the movies that we saw, the 23
mm-hmm.
movies that we saw, everything tied together perfectly. It was like a little box. Always had a little bow.
Uh-huh.
Right now, I feel like...
always had a little bow.
Well, right now, I feel like there's a lot of, like...
We dropped the box a couple times.
There's a lot of open boxes and nothing tying them together at the moment.
So what Marvel is doing right now with the TV shows, because all of the previews that we saw on the Disney Plus Day release, which we were talking about on Wednesday, those are all TV shows.
Yes.
Every single one.
That's
one. Series, mini series, whatever.
There was one that was a movie.
So, question.
One?
It's one of the last ones. They actually trailered like one of the actual movies.
I'll have to go back and rewatch, but I thought they were all.
So question, because I really wasn't paying attention, but I did see that
Moon Knight.
The witch.
Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, Agatha or Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet and. Him.
Uh-huh.
Vision.
Thank you. I saw a trailer, but I thought it was for the original show that we watched.
Yeah,
it was
past,
it was
present, and future.
Okay,
was
is there another?
No.
Agatha.
Agatha and the Realm of Harkness is what her show is called.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was Agatha.
Yeah.
She's like the Karen of witches.
She's awesome too.
I don't know. She annoys me. She's annoyed me in every role.
I loved her.
She's literally ever played.
I loved her in WandaVision.
So it has nothing to do with Wanda or Vision?
What?
Her show?
Maybe.
I don't get it.
Wanda or Vision? No, I'm pretty sure that one's going to be in the past. Like
leading
like,
up to where she found
like,
them?
Maybe. I was thinking more 16th.
She was
16th,
destroyed in WandaVision.
16th century. No,
yeah.
She was... Her,
she was trapped.
Drained of her. Yeah, she was trapped in her own body.
She was trapped in WandaVision.
I think that it's going to be like 16th century Salem or something like that. Cool.
Which I might like, by the way. See, it's easy.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And Agatha was a great name for her. But,
Oh, I think I was getting Secret Invasion mixed up with Secret Wars, and I think Secret Invasion is a show, right?
Yeah, Secret Invasion is a confirmed show, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
Coming out later.
Marvel.
Nick Fury.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That whole side of thing.
Okay.
And Ironheart going to be Pepper Potts?
So one of the.
I can tell you.
Because
so
Pepper Potts played Rescue in the comics. That's what her...
Right.
She did take on a role?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ironheart is either A, Tony Stark's daughter, or...
She'd still be pretty young.
Kind of.
Depending on when they shot it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not the actual actor. I mean, like, Everything so far has been a month to 6 months after.
Right, no, I mean, because it could be, you know,
10 years
after.
Down the road, 11 years.
Yeah. Or,
it depends. Yeah.
Or
he's still a super young teenager.
It's another prodigy that, you know, is obsessed with Tony Stark.
I feel like it would make more sense with Pepper.
Would it be the boy?
No, it's actually a girl. It's like a 16-year-old African American girl.
Not be his daughter.
Yeah, and that's
we've lost it.
And that's actually
and now we're moving forward.
And that's actually in the comics is that she, loves Iron Man and stuff like that. Finds his tech, is able to redo his tech, and she becomes the new quote unquote Iron Man. But she renames herself Ironheart.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. And
you know what,
I feel like this phase could go in like 1,000 different directions, and I, as a non-comic reader, am super fucking confused.
So the thing that we have to realize is that, and I love the way that Shang-Chi did it. Okay, so I'm going to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about this movie is, number one, the callbacks to the original phase, because you have Trevor Slattery back in there Ben Kingsley back as Trevor Slattery.
I love Ben Kingsley.
and if you haven't watched All Hail the King on Disney,
you should.
You should, because it's a short little, you know,
listen,
17.
Ben Kingsley is Ben Kingsley, and you should watch him in every chance you get. It's much like the British show that we used to watch as kids. You reference it a lot in your life.
Okay.
It's funny. It's British.
Okay.
Like, super funny. What the fuck is it called?
We'll come back to you?
No, because I don't think I'll get it unless you tell me.
Describe it.
Knights. Funny knights.
Like King Arthur knights?
Kind of. What? Yes.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
That's just a movie.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail is a movie.
Yes.
Monty Python and the Life of Brian is a movie. However, it was a comedy sketch show on the BBC. That's where it got its start.
Honestly, Ben Kingsley, like in these roles,
yes,
100%,
yes,
reminds me of Monty Python.
Okay. But if you haven't seen All Hail the King, you kind of need to. It's kind of a short little 17-minute prequel to Shang-Chi.
I haven't seen it.
You have not. I watched it today.
Cheater. You're a traitor.
I watched it at work. I can't tell. What can I say?
You should text me and, like, watch this.
We'll watch it after this.
Okay.
And things will be a little more clear.
Okay.
So we have Trevor Slattery as a callback. We have Wong. Trevor Slattery was in Iron Man 3. Yeah, Iron Man 3 as the Mandarin for the Ten Rings.
Okay. I might need to watch that again.
You're going to need it'll come back to you.
Okay.
We have Wong and Abomination as a callback.
I feel like Abomination looked different.
He did.
Okay.
And there's multiple.
And he's a mutant, right?
No. He was injected with super soldier serum and exposed to gamma radiation. He was meant to basically take down the Hulk.
Okay.
And the Hulk, he beat the shit out of the Hulk, but then the Hulk, like, beat the fuck out of him.
Okay.
And there was a very small reference to Iron Man. And that's what I love about this movie. A lot of the other previous movies, after, like, Phase 1 and Phase 2, the introduction movies had a lot of the other characters in it. Like, all the Spider-Man movies they can't be standalone Spider-Man movies because they all have
connection. Well, they try to tie everything in.
Right, right. And sometimes that's great. Sometimes it's kind of like, you know, okay, we get it. You know, Spider-Man, like, in the first, in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
It was all about Spider-Man and Tony Stark.
Right.
Same thing with...
Because they had to tie it in.
Yeah. Same thing with Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because that takes place after the death of Tony Stark, and now we've got Spider-Man Homecoming, which is all about Doctor Strange.
Okay.
It's a little bit about Spider-Man. Huh?
Far From Home. You said Homecoming.
No Way Home. I'm sorry. The new one coming out.
Okay.
I thought I said No Way Home. I'm sorry. That's literally all about Doctor Strange and a little bit about Spider-Man from the trailer. I mean, it's Spider-Man, but it's a lot of Doctor Strange influence. Whereas this was all focused on Shang-Chi.
Which I thought that was great.
Callbacks. And that's what I love about this movie. And that's why, in my opinion, I think it is a absolute perfect start to Phase 4. Because you're not neglecting these phases over here. You're rewriting the MCU. You're starting over, starting fresh. But with
you've got a lot of opportunity for who to tie in with who.
Yes, yes, and
because if you look at the mutants,
yeah,
that true.
There's actually a person from Iron Man 3 in one of the cages.
Right. So we've got them. We've got Doctor Strange because he's not done. He's not done.
Right.
We've got for now. We have
Katie,
mm-mm.
Hawkeye, and Kate Bishop.
We have Katie, who's amazing, and I wasn't sure of her role, but she obviously this managed to pull her in, even though she's awkward.
Yeah.
And make her a part of
the MCU.
We still have Captain Marvel because she was a late entry anyway, so she's going to be part of it. I just feel like
there was little bitty callbacks in this movie, but it was
opportunity to create this great new Phase 4.
Yeah, yeah. This was Shang-Chi with a little bit of Marvel sprinkled in. It wasn't Marvel with a little bit of Spider-Man or a little bit of
right. We saw the callbacks, and the biggest ones being Wong. Honestly, the minute he stepped in any of those scenes and pulled his rings out and like opened his portal, like okay. There's Marvel. There he is.
Yeah.
You know, we know that it's going to tie in. We know that Doctor Strange is going to tie in with Shang-Chi somewhere.
Yeah. It was his movie with a touch of Marvel, which is what I absolutely loved. I didn't want...
Your phone is on.
I know, because I didn't turn off the... I didn't silence it. I'm sorry. It wasn't a, this is a Marvel movie with Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi with a little bit of Marvel.
What I thought was great was we didn't look at it and say, okay, this is a Disney movie. This is a Marvel movie. Like, we literally just focused on the fact that it was Shang-Chi, and we didn't know who he was, and especially for people like me. Like, I have no idea who he is. Oh, shit, there's Marvel characters.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can't wait to see where it goes.
Before we get into the final act, when they go into Hollow, all of those creatures are actual Asian mythological creatures. Even the little faceless bugs.
The little ottoman things?
Yeah. They're all real mythological creatures.
I don't even know what the fucking lion things are called, but I love seeing those.
So the lion things are super cool, but like what mythological creature is an ottoman with wings? It's like a butterfly ottoman.
It's just a mischievous little creature is all
it is.
It's
so cute.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever thought about our mythological creatures?
No.
You believe in a Wendigo.
I do.
Which is just a cannibalistic man that has turned into like... A long person.
I mean, skinwalkers, come on. But he's not an ottoman with butterfly wings. It was awesome.
Just because it's not humanoid, it's still pretty on the scope of...
those lion things?
Yeah.
They actually, especially in China, they create sculptures of those to protect...
They're like gargoyles.
They protect monuments, mausoleums and stuff. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. they're like
kind of a reference
French.
To people who have lions
yeah.
outside of their home.
Yeah.
Which is really weird in Tennessee when you drive past a literal, like, 1970s neighborhood and one house has pillars outside with lions on it, and you're like,
well,
okay.
lions themselves are pretty British and pretty French.
But it's Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
what the fuck?
We do have to get into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Austin?
Yeah.
Final act. What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
I thought it was a good movie. I think it got like a high rating on a lot of things. Above 9 on most things. I think it deserved that. I think it was pretty good, especially for a starting movie. And then not only that, I think that, like, in the beginning, it being one of the first movies and it being cultural and it being all that, it got quite a bit of review bombing. And I enjoyed that it immediately turned around once audiences started watching it.
Right.
It immediately had this revolving door where it just bounced all of that back. And I love that because it was a good movie. And it didn't deserve any of that just because it was different than, you know, what critics that have been reviewing since, you know, like pictures were in, yeah, pictures were in black and white.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, like, I'm sorry that it wasn't, you know.
Charlie Chaplin.
But, you know, it was good. I loved all of the different camera angles and the CGI was pretty great. I thought it, like, there were certain parts of it that made it feel different, made it feel different than many movies we watch now. I liked that it wasn't really a standard American story either. There wasn't an antagonist or protagonist. There wasn't an end goal or finishing, but there was always that it's very much like more Eastern Hemisphere,
yes.
That it always ends with like a message,
yeah,
like a
the movie is truly
like a metaphor.
Yeah, it's about love.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so I love that about the movie. There wasn't much I didn't like. There were some parts that maybe weren't as like clean.
I can agree.
And there were some parts where you could definitely tell that was because they were trying something new and it might clean up in the future. But yeah, there was definitely some parts that weren't perfect. Besides that, I think it was actually a really stand-up movie. I would watch this by itself. It was just like a good, like, hero movie, not even a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Just like a good movie to watch. If you took out the end credit scenes, there's not really much for you to catch up on. It's just a good movie. God damn.
Right.
Sorry, I muted it.
But yeah, I would recommend it, and I probably will watch it again. This will probably be my, like, new Iron Man 2. Although I watched that one. No, I didn't. I watched one of them a lot. So it probably turned into that. It was like a good beginning phase movie to watch.
Okay. Alex, your final act.
I like this movie. The ratings it got, it deserved. I don't think there's any specific point that I could point out to where I was like, oh yeah, that kind of drug the movie down. There were some like kinks in the movie that needed to be flattened out. That's every movie. I was kind of confused by Katie's character. Shang-Chi's friend, I think
yeah.
what her name was.
Yeah.
She was there for comedic relief and stuff, and I thought the part where they were on, like, the skyscraper, when she started singing that Hotel California.
Yeah.
That part was super funny, but then all of a sudden she turns into this, like, dumb-luck, badass driver, and she can also shoot a bow after 2 days of, you know, training. And she gets a really lucky shot at the end. Yeah, her character was just kind of comedic relief and a lot of dumb luck. I like her character.
Yeah.
She fit in pretty well. I like Shang-Chi's sister. She kicked ass in this movie.
Xylee.
Especially with the rope dart. She kicked ass.
Oh, yeah.
And that end dragon scene when they were fighting, that scene was pretty cool. I'll probably watch it again. I'd recommend it. Maybe, I don't know, if you're wanting to keep up on Marvel, yeah, you could watch it. But honestly, it's a great movie, but you could maybe, depending on where things go, you could probably skip this movie and not be lost. But I don't recommend you skip it because it's a good movie. But yeah.
Fun fact, the rope dart is called a yo-yo.
Okay. Cool. Miss Angel, your final act.
I actually went into this movie not wanting to see it. I had a lot of predispositions about this movie. And then because I hadn't seen any trailers, just heard about it. And everything that I had heard about it was kind of meh. And then I watched it, and visually it was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought all of the effects were awesome. I will agree that there were certain parts that I was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. Or kind of slow or kind of campy.
Yeah.
Mostly that in the scene where the dad and mom were meeting.
Okay.
And they were fighting.
Yeah.
But it was more like a loving dance. Like, it was weird. It was too choreographed, I will say.
Okay.
It felt weird.
Okay. I can see that.
But I think my phone just shut off.
No, you still have the video. Keep going. Okay.
Anyway, I think it was a great story. I think it was interesting because it was something completely different from Marvel.
Yes.
I love the fact that it was 100% directed at a culture.
Yes.
There was no white influence in it. And I loved that. And that's not anything against white culture, but we see a lot of white culture in Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Like Austin was saying. And there was not that influence here. And I loved it.
I was saying American.
Okay, well, I'm saying white culture, and there was not that here, and I loved it. And I think that's where we kind of get the idea that it's Disney influenced.
Maybe.
Because it did have reminiscence of Mulan, and it did have reminiscence, I will say Mulan live action, and Raya. Because in both of those movies, they tried to be culturally appropriate in how they made the movie.
Right. There's a lot of Asian movie influence in it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they used so much martial arts. The fight scenes were amazing. The bus scene and the skyscraper scenes were both awesome.
Yeah.
And to be a little different, I love Katie's character. I love the fact that they're best friends. She is not...
cool.
No,
she's
not what we would, like, typically it would be a thin, small, cute Asian woman.
No.
It was not. She was a little awkward. She wore some awkward clothes. She was a little heavyset. I loved her.
I loved her grandpa walk.
Yeah. She was freaking amazing. And I can't wait, honestly, cannot wait to see where she goes because she's super awkward. And I think a lot of her story was just the fact that she had no ambition and her family wanted to see her go further because they brought her to America to do that. And here she is carving her way in a whole different way. So, I don't know.
You heard it here first, kids. Do nothing with your life and eventually something will fall in the
place. Be a hero. Be
yeah.
a hero. Save the world. Shoot the dragon in the throat.
Yeah. Do nothing with your life. Watch your grandpa figure that has come into your life die, and then shoot a dragon.
Yeah, no, it was all, I love this movie. Visually, acting, the script was awesome. I really didn't have any complaints, especially not wanting to see the movie. Like, I was super impressed. I would absolutely watch him. And even if you're not a Marvel fan, like, I would watch the movie.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. If you are a Marvel fan, please watch the movie because it's, like, the next phase, and you'd be dumb not to because it does. But if you're not a Marvel fan and you just watch it as a standalone, you have no idea who these characters are, cool. Watch it anyway. It's fun.
Okay. So, about 2 months ago, Alice and I were talking about new releases coming out, new trailers and stuff like that. It was a couple months ago.
4 score and 7 years ago.
One of the ones that we talked about was Shang-Chi. And we both were kind of hesitant about it. Because the trailers really didn't portray the movie a lot. They showed action scenes and stuff like that. And of course, they showed the fight club scene with Wong and Abomination. And to me, I was just kind of like, okay, it's a movie I want to watch. I don't know if I'd go to the theaters to watch it. And I would say that I was pleasantly surprised, if that's the right word. Wrong. Absolutely wrong about my initial thoughts. I watched the movie, and now I kind of regret not going to the theaters to watch it. This movie is visually stunning. The camera angles, like Austin was saying, were amazing. The movie was shot so well that the skyscraper scene on the bamboo, I can't think of the name, scaffolding, just really, really hit my agoraphobia hard. Like, I was...
Acrophobia? Yes.
Okay.
Agoraphobia is not acrophobia. I don't remember what that is.
Agoraphobia is leaving the house.
No, that's agoraphobia.
Oh. No, I don't know what the other one is.
Acrophobia
is a fear
of
heights.
Falling. Or the fear of heights, yeah. And then, aerophobia is the fear of falling.
Okay.
You said it quite a few times, so I just wanted to correct you.
Okay. Anyway, my fear of heights. How about that? It really hit it hard. Like, I got the racing part, the sweaty palms, and, you know, that feeling because of the way that it was shot.
Yeah, that was a stressful scene.
It was a very stressful scene. And then you got the camera angle pointing down at the guy falling, and you're like, well, fuck, that's a long way down. But overall, the movie was spectacular. It was beautiful. It was well done. It was well shot. The script was well written. The callbacks to the previous MCU phases were absolutely perfect in the movie. There weren't, you know, 100 different callbacks, and there wasn't like one or two. It was a perfect addition to the Marvel Universe and an absolute perfect beginning to Phase 4. I love the imagery in the movie, and I love how they took the mythological creatures from that culture and made them real. And overall, the movie was fantastic. The CGI could have been a little cleaner, could have been a little sharper. There were some parts where you could obviously tell that it was CGI. I think a lot of this, and Alex and I were talking about this the other night, and I think Austin and I were talking about it too. But one of the reasons is the fact that they're not all in one building.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it's having to travel so far, and people are still spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens. It doesn't detract from the movie. It's just little things you notice when you're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I thought the movie was fantastic. I can't wait to see where they go with Phase 4. I definitely want to see Eternals. So we'll see where that goes. Would I watch it again? Absolutely. I hope it stays on Disney Plus for a little while.
No, I think it's probably on there. Make it on there for now. Make the rest of the MCU movies.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, great. If it's on Disney Plus for the rest of the, you know, for you know, the rest of the time now, there's an opportunity to watch it again. And recommending it, if you're a Marvel fan, watch it. If you're a Kung Fu movie fan, watch it. If you are a lover of, like, visually stunning, action-packed, continuously flowing movies, watch it. If you're a fan of movies, watch it. It is one of those movies where you don't have to be totally immersed in the MCU to enjoy. Some of the callbacks, if you know nothing about the MCU, some of the callbacks may confuse you, but it doesn't detract from the story. The callbacks just add to the story. But, yeah, other than that, it's a good movie. I was impressed. So, and with that, we are down to the last, you know, 5 or so minutes of the show. I want to thank everyone for coming on tonight. You know, awesome. As always, thank you. Alex, thank you.
Yep.
Miss Angel, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
And thank you to all of our listeners, all of our followers, all of our supporters. I have no idea what Jumanji 11 is.
I don't know what that was.
But hopefully we'll get an answer from that. Anyway, thank you everybody. We do appreciate you guys. We do truly love you guys. I don't say that just to sound, you know, altruistic or whatever. We do. You know, we appreciate all of our supporters, all of our followers. So, thank you very much. I do want to say a happy late Veterans Day to all my brothers and sisters out there. Veterans Day was last Thursday. And I will say that I got to enjoy a spectacular Veterans Day at home with my family and loved every minute of it and had a fantastic dinner. So thank you everybody for that. Speaking of that, ladies and gentlemen, support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are some really good ones out there. And as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast. Every Wednesday night for Cinephiles. And every Friday night for Note by Note. I will say real quick, this week, we will have shows this week. Are we having a Falling from Grace on Tuesday? Okay. We are having a Cinephiles on Wednesday. It will be pushed back a half hour. We will not be starting at 6. We are starting at 6:30 due to traffic and work schedules. So we are having a Note by Note. Note by Note will be the last show for a week, the week of Thanksgiving. The WCM studios will be closed. we'll be shut down.
We'll be going on hiatus.
Yep, for just a week. And then we'll be back the following week. But anyway, again, thank you everybody for joining us tonight. And I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your Sunday night. Have a fantastic week. And we will see you back here Tuesday for Fallen from Grace and Wednesday for the Cinephiles.
Good night, everybody.
A week-long hiatus is like a white girl that has to tell her social media that she's going away because her boyfriend, Eddie, broke up with her for the third time.
I can see that.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. You'll have a fantastic night. Later.
Drip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you love me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back.